Would you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, please, for our message tonight, part one, our thoughts on this. We're going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians 5 for our text, but the first part is Ecclesiastes 7. Verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Did you get that? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Yeah. How many of you started to study Spanish, but you never finished it? Huh? Or any other language you started to study? How about advanced mathematics? But I never finished it. The end of a thing, like where it ends up, what happens, you know, the end result is better than the beginning. The beginning may start beautiful, but where does it end up? It might look ugly when it starts, but the end is the issue, not how it begins. So we have been born again by God's grace, by His faithfulness, by the miracle of the incarnation, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have been called. Maybe the beginning doesn't look so pretty, but how it ends up is beautiful. Because what God has purposed in Himself, He will finish, He will accomplish it, He will do it. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Recently, I was thinking about hell and heaven and God and the world we live in, and the whole idea of falling asleep. In a spiritual way, falling asleep. I remember in the story with David and King Saul. Saul was sleeping, and David had a general with him. His name was Abner. And he said to David, when he was standing there, and David was there, and Saul was sleeping, Abner said, "Let me smite him. I'll smite him once, not twice." It means I can kill him with one plunge in my javelin. I know right where to hit him. I won't hit him twice. He'll be gone because I'm good at this. Saul was sleeping, and that little story caught my attention because we are living in a world where there's a lot going on. There's a lot happening here in this world that we are living in. And it seems the older I get, the more I realize how little I know about what is really going on. It's kind of like this in a way. Like, I'm like a Christian, but nothing's there. You know? Like, I don't have a dog, but I got the name dog. And I can act like I have a dog, but it's just not there. And in this portion, 1 Thessalonians 5, it speaks about the end times. And I think when we look at the news and we look at our country and we look at churches closing down and we look at the politics and we look at life and suicides and drug addiction and so on, and many other things, we wonder, what is happening in this world I'm living in. And because Christ is in you, then you have this amazing capacity to be alive and to be awake. Saul is sleeping. And when you sleep, you don't know what's going on. When you sleep, you don't know the good things and you don't know the bad things when you sleep. There's a wedding, but I slept through it. There was a funeral, but I slept through it. There was a storm last night. My wife said, "Did you hear the lightning?" No. No. "Did you hear the animal out the back window?" No. 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 I think there's a kind of spiritual sleepiness that happens. I'm sure of it. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded that a lot of believers sleep. They do. There was Jael killed the Sisera with a peg, a tent peg, through the temple of his head as he was sleeping. I wonder what the devil does when we sleep spiritually. I think he closes down a church. He also gets the elders fighting with each other. He also gets the ladies in the church stirred up. Maybe he gets them moving in a lot of energy. And by the way, when you fall asleep, you dream and you get afraid. Has anybody woken up in a cold sweat from a dream you had? As a teenager, I remember nightmares and literally sometimes sweating because of the dream. I think in a way, there are Christians that are like that. They're sleeping and they're having these fears that don't exist. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid of the devil. They're afraid of the end of the world. They're afraid of Jesus coming back. They're afraid they're going to be judged. They're afraid they're going to go to hell. They have many of these dreams because they are sleeping, not because they're awake. It's like we have a form of godliness, a form of it, but not the power in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. And I want to just speak a few minutes about this and then about the power, because this is who we are. We are lively, but I was thinking about it recently. Am I asleep? Am I asleep? And then I'm thinking, no. Our church keeps me awake. Am I asleep? Maybe. There are times I am. But when I am with you, somehow, something goes on. There's some life there. There's actually a dog in the harness. There's a dog in the harness. Wow. Lord, could I live with a dog in the harness? Like, really? Like, I want to be awake. There's another one that slept. Wasn't that Samson? When he got his hair cut, he was sleeping. What does the devil do when the church is sleeping? What is happening in the United States of America when the church is sleeping? What happened in Nazi Germany when the church was sleeping? What happened in the Soviet Union when the church was sleeping? What's happening in our country when the church is sleeping? You know, people say, "You have a Wednesday night service?" And we are like thinking, "Hey, I got a dog in the harness. I got a dog in the harness. I got something going on. Not just the name and the form, but actually the life and the passion And the reality of meeting God any day, Jesus could come back. How about it? What do you think? It's amazing to raise a family when you got a dog in the harness. It's amazing when you can go out anywhere in the world. I was talking to my son Justin on the phone last night about missions. We were just talking and having fellowship, and the whole idea of lost people and people where they don't have any message, they don't have any gospel, and what a reality it is that you could go anywhere in the world and you can open your mouth with the gospel, and Jesus said, "I am with you to the end of the age." Boy. What an amazing thing to assemble and have a prayer meeting and the Spirit to say, "Ask me, I will do it. Ask me, I will do it." And sometimes years pass and then you realize, He did it. He did it. Let's read the text. There's a lot of verses here, but we'll go through them pretty good here just for a few. Verse 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. When they will say peace and safety," and they say a lot of that. Security is the key word. Security, computer security, national security. Yeah, security of your finances, security, border security, peace, security. They do it all the time, every day, all the time. But we say, where is it? What's going on? Then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The ladies know. When the water breaks, their socks are wet, baby's coming, and suddenly the birth pangs come, and it's sudden, and God is saying, that's like the end times. And we are saying, when, Lord? I don't want to be asleep. My bed is well feathered. I'm very comfortable. My chair is this big. I got the remote with the NFL, and I got it. I mean, I sleep because I'm occupied with the wrong stuff. I got to have a dog in my harness, amen? I got to have a dog in the harness. I got to make sure I got a dog in the harness. Guys, this is the only way this works. And if I sleep, what happens? Verse 4. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness." That's a good word to say to your neighbor right now, just to do that for the fun of it. Just say, "Brethren, you are not in darkness." You look like you are, but you're not in darkness. "Brethren, you are not in darkness." You go to Greater Grace, World Outreach. "Brethren, you are not in darkness." You have the Holy Spirit. "Brethren, you are not in darkness." You're not in darkness. You got the Bible in your heart. You have the Spirit of God in your life. "Brethren, you are not in darkness." Verse 4, that day should overtake you as a thief. "You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." What happens at night? Ask any policeman. What happens after midnight? He goes, "World changes when the sun goes down." We have a thing saying to teenagers, nothing good happens after 11 o'clock at night. Nothing good happens after 11 o'clock at night. What happens in the night? things break open. It's amazing how people live behind the tinted windows, behind the sunglasses, behind the pulled shades. What happens in darkness? It's common, popular, and it's everywhere. They're on the phone in darkness. They lie and slander in darkness. They steal money in darkness. They take drugs in darkness. They sell drugs in darkness. How much happens in the darkness? It's like the world is covered with it. But you are not of darkness. You are of the light. That's so beautiful. There's light in us. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let's have fun here for a minute. Just kind of start snoring, everybody in the room. Go ahead. Go ahead, keep going. Hey, you just get comfortable, get rolled up, you know, get real warm and cozy, and just go to sleep. Wow. People are lost. I know Jesus said that, but I can't do anything about it. I just stay home and I go to sleep. I got things to do at my home, at my life, in my work. I'm just kind of spiritually sleeping. But do you ever open your mouth and share the gospel? Do you ever tell them the good news? Do you ever talk about God and about heaven? Have you ever told somebody that maybe, listen, excuse me, sir, I don't know you, you don't know me. After a few minutes, you get to talk and relax and be together a little bit. And then just say, could I say something to you? I don't want to offend you. But have you ever wondered if hell is real? Is there anything in us that provokes us in our faith? You know, to be awake. Awake. Maybe somebody's in the tree like Zacchaeus, and Jesus is walking by, and he stops because Jesus is awake. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. We're going to have lunch together. And Zacchaeus said, salvation has come to my house. Jesus was awake, but we sleep, as many do. But it says here, it gets good. It says, let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So now he explains how to stay awake. Let me say this a little bit more, and we'll be done, but I want to just say this a little bit more. Recently, I was, you know, just thinking about this, thinking, Lord, maybe I don't have it in my heart as much as it could be. Like, I could be much more stirred up about your world and what you are saying and who you are and what you have done, that you gave your son for me. And I feel the coldness or indifference, or I can sense the sleepiness, the drowsiness. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, he writes, I saw in my dream that they went on till they came to a certain country whose air naturally tended to make one drowsy. If he came a stranger into it, and here Hopeful began to be very dull and heavy of sleep. Wherefore he said unto Christian, I do now begin to grow drowsy. I can scarcely hold up my eyes. Let's lie down here and take one nap. Christian said, by no means. left sleeping, we will never wake again. We all know that people that are in tragic accidents in their conscience, they try to keep those patients awake, because if they fall asleep, they may die. You know, that idea. Maybe there's some times when we get drowsy spiritually and we get indifferent to the church, but the church is amazing. I get indifferent to the Bible, but the Bible is amazing. I get indifferent to prayer, but prayer is amazing. I get indifferent to evangelism and missions, but that is amazing. I get indifferent to the second coming of Christ, that He's coming, that He's coming. Christ is coming. That's amazing. Whoa. I'm like smacking my lips, falling asleep, a little more warm milk, and just doze off. What is happening around me? The devil would plunge his spear through my heart. That the devil would cut my hair off like Samson. I would fall from the loft like Eutychus, his name, in the book of Acts when Paul was preaching. And he came. They picked him up. They thought he was dead, but not when Paul was around. He wasn't going to be dead. I think that Pastor Stevens was so much fun because he, you know, we can do it. Don't give me any excuse. Wake up at 2 in the morning. Pray until 4 in the morning. Get up at 6 in the morning. Travel 1,000 miles by foot. And crawl your way into the meeting and be anointed of God. Those kind of messages stirred us up. And look what happened. Through our 50, 60 years of history. Look at what has happened. Because you, I want to say, make this very clear. You are folks that on a Wednesday night are here because you are not sleeping, but you're awake. And we help each other stay awake. Kind of put somebody, hit them in the ribs, you know, and say, you know, spiritually speaking, don't do that right now with your neighbor. But hey, wake thou that sleepest. Christ shall give you life. Wake up, get moving in faith. Wake up, knock on the door of your neighbor. Wake up, believe God. Go to an emergency room and see if you can help out. Wake up and teach English to somebody that needs it. Wake up and have an outreach of some kind. Wake up and visit somebody. Now, here's the thing. When we get close to the end of our journey, we're more prone to fall asleep. When our bed is well feathered, we fall asleep. When spiritually everything is perfect, then we fall asleep. But look at the little list here with me. Verse 12, it says, we beseech you to know them which labor among you. I got to hang out with the guys and the gals that are doing something. With these two young ladies, Albania and the Philippines, God bless you. May God send you out and bless you and anoint you and use you and be stirred up in it. And it says, verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love. You esteem the leadership. And it doesn't necessarily mean official leadership like the pastor as I am, but you esteem others that are amongst you, that esteem them highly for their passion, for their love, for their faith. And then it says, And be at peace among yourselves. And know, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. If you get offended, eat it. Let's say that together. If you get offended, eat it. If you get offended, eat crow. Eat crow. Go ahead, say it to your neighbor. If you get offended, eat it. If eat crow. Eat crow. If you get offended, eat it. Take it and eat it. Live before God. If somebody rips you off, you might have to eat it. If you got the legal way to go about it, but you might not be able to do it, you got to eat it. If that's the way it is, and don't get involved with stuff. By the way, don't loan out money unless you want to give it away. Give it away. Don't loan it out. It messes up the church if everybody's loaning money, borrowing money, and not paying it back. The guy in the second row will not talk to the guy in his 22nd row. Yeah, forget all about it. Give it away. If you can't give it away, then don't loan it out. That's just a tip. Hey, is there a dog in here? Is there a dog in the house? Who let the dogs out? Is there a dog in the house? No. You know what? When we are walking and Jesus is there, right? It's more than a label. He is the real thing. And he'll take care of you. You are to finish your course with joy. You're not to get all angry and empty and hurting and troubled and wounded and messed up and complicated and complicated and complicated. Yeah, this life is to be simple. It's to be loving. It's to be powerful. It's to be forgiving. It's to be prayerful. It's we are to be awake to the real big things, the things that are most important. And then we'll have peace amongst ourselves. And we'll have a lot of good stuff going on. Look at, we won't return evil for evil. In verse 15, we'll rejoice evermore. We should have a convention called that. Oh, we just did. What was it? Rejoice all. What was the name of it? Rejoice Always, was it? We just had a convention called Rejoice Always or Rejoice Evermore. And that just means straight up, rejoice all the time. That's all that we can do. And we'll stay awake. When you're walking along with a buddy and you're talking one to another about the things of God, it wakes you up. When we assemble like this on a Wednesday night, and we say every believer in the United States of America should have a midweek service where they assemble often and they gather together as they see that day approaching. And by the way, he's coming on a horse. Okay, now bark like a dog. And then, what was the other animal? I said the horse, I said a dog. Wasn't there another one? Okay, I'm confused. All right, what is it? The crow, okay. All right, listen. Jesus is coming on a horse. That speaks a lot to my heart, it does. Not only do I like horses, but it means something to me. He made them. They are in heaven. He is coming on one. By the way, probably you're coming on one too. So when I look you over, no, you and I, we are. We're coming. If we go to be with him, I mean, when he comes back, and for the millennium, he's coming on a horse. You see what I mean? When I sleep, I don't know that. When I sleep, that doesn't mean much to me. When I sleep, I got this thing going on, but, you know, I got the form. When I sleep, there's nothing there. When I sleep, I don't understand God. I don't understand the Word. I don't believe the Word. I don't believe there is a heaven or there's a hell. I don't believe that God is really. But when we have Christ, we are yoked up with him. And the Spirit dwells in you and we talk to each other. It becomes clearer to us what we are part of. Because where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in our midst. And then it says here, in everything give thanks. It says pray without ceasing. It says quench not the spirit. Don't despise the preaching and the teaching. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. The very God of peace, what will he do? He will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? If you fail and you fall asleep and you get troubled and you're kind of having a nightmare in life, and I say, you're saying, I can't believe this is happening to me. Do you know the end of a thing It's better than the beginning. And that what he has purposed for you is so great that he will perfect that which he started. That he wants you and I to know that we are conformed to the image of his Son. That is guaranteed. So why not in the process, in the going, be doing and living and believing all of these things that we've been taught and be alive and awake to them? Sometimes in a nest, when there's some needles in there, it's good for the young birds to get out. Sometimes in your life, some needles will come into your life, and maybe that's for you to wake up and to get out and to move on in your faith. You know, that's all. The last part, it says, we are sanctified body, soul, spirit, actually in the reverse order, spirit, soul, body, and faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. Amen. Would you say to you, turn to your neighbor for a minute and just say, what did you get out of that message? I didn't get anything out of it. But what did you get out of the message? Turn to your neighbor and you say, I got a lot out of it. And just tell them, what did you get out of that message? I got a lot out of that message. Pastor Love just reminded me of that verse in Luke 8 when they sowed the seed and then they slept. No, was it that one? They sowed the seed. The enemy came and sowed the seed while they slept, you know. I think it's true. I think I do. I think it is. A lot of bad stuff is being sown in the world because people are asleep. Well, they don't have any capacity. They have no insight. They have no wisdom. Consider the ant who has no ruler, but he prepares food for the summer. And the harvest is there, and he does it. And it says, consider the ant. He is not sleeping. Oh, sluggard, consider the ant. That's a good word. I'm not talking about physical activity. I'm talking about spiritual alertness. And I know that we help each other in that. And God is answering our prayer. God is faithful to us. God will lead us, and we'll say, wow, that's amazing. I got to do this. I got to be part of it. It really happened, and I'm right on the right page with God and what he's doing. Not perfectly, but at least I'm awake. Okay? Amen. Let's have one altar call now. Please, would you pray with me for this altar call? Father, there are people that come here, and they're seeking. Yes, they like the meeting. Yes, they like the message. Yes, the nice group of people. Yes, maybe they would come again. Yes, but no, oh God, no. There has to be something that's a lot more than that. There's got to be a dog in the harness, Lord. There's got to be something that we cannot do. There's got to be something greater. The Holy Spirit has to do this work. Convict people of sin and give them the new birth and save their souls and take their sin away and give them a name in the book of life. And here is the invitation to whoever is hearing my voice, come to Jesus Christ as you are. Believe in him personally. And you are born of the Spirit. You are born of God. God loves you. God is for you. God saves you. And you have the reality of God in your life. Walk by faith in him. Walk by faith in him. And trust him. And obey him. And trust him. And when you fail, get up and get going. And live by faith in him. In your heart. God will take care of you. And he'll teach you. And he'll guide you in the Word of God. Word of God is the mind of God, and he will speak to your heart and minister to you. Say to Jesus, I believe in you, Jesus, I believe in you. In your name, I believe in you. And then anyone saying the prayer, would you raise your hand? We give you an opportunity to make a profession to say yes to Jesus. Just raise your hand. The ushers will give you a booklet. We want to encourage you. Anybody at all, just raise your hand. Anybody. Amen.